To the Sleepwire Show, everybody. We have a fun show today. Professor Chris here with Prophet Hoos and Sven. How are you guys doing tonight?
Awesome, man. Another show. It's the off season. Oh, we got some great guests. I'm excited, man.
I'm very excited as well. Happy to get more involved on the network.
Yeah, glad to have you. And like who said, first big show of the off season. We have two special guests, both good friends of the show. These guys have both been on multiple times. First, Marcus Grant, how's it going, man?
It's good, man. Welcome to the it's not off season. There's the playing season and then the non-playing season. That's kind of how it is. Like, there's no, if people are like, what are you doing in the off season? And I like laugh. I'm like, what is this off season you talk about? It doesn't really exist.
Yeah, my wife, I get a lot of, isn't football over? And Pat Fitzmaurice on the show. Pat, welcome back. How are you doing?
Doing good, Chris. Thanks for having me. Nice to be joined with you and Hoos again. Nice to meet Sven and nice to finally meet Marcus. So great to be on with all you guys.
Yeah, it's kind of coming full circle here because I feel like we've all either been on shows together or been in fantasy leagues together.
Yes.
Right. All right, guys. Well, so we're going to be doing something fun today, Players Forgotten. But before we get into that, we have a couple pieces of news that, you know, are important to bring up. And the first one, the big news, it looks like Drew Brees has played the final game of his career. You guys, I'm assuming you saw his look back as he was running into the tunnel. Right. You saw him, you know, get one last look back at the field before he ran in. Hall of Fame career. And these are some of the stats. I was looking these up today because I wanted to have some good things to say about Drew Brees. He retires with the most career passing yards of all time. He's only about 1,000 ahead of Brady. So if Brady plays another season, he'll likely pass him. But most of all time right now, second most passing touchdowns, the second best completion percentage, Super Bowl MVP. He led the league in passing yards 7 times and passing touchdowns 4 times. He led the league in completion percentage 6 times. There have been 12 5,000-plus passing yard seasons in NFL history, and Drew Brees has 5 of them. In fact, no other quarterback has done it even more than one time. Brees has done it 5 times. And then in fantasy, he was the quarterback 1 twice, the quarterback 2 3 times, and finished inside the top 10 in 15 of his seasons.
Wow. Beast. Remarkable stuff.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, the last couple years kind of make us think that Drew Brees was just an okay fantasy quarterback, especially if you really if this was like your second year playing fantasy. But those of us who've been playing, you know, for 10 plus years, we remember the 5,040 touchdown Drew Brees.
I will say this. I remember I was at the game where he made his first ever college start. His first ever start with Purdue was in Los Angeles against USC on a day in September where it was brutally, brutally hot. And we certainly didn't know who this dude was. We just knew he was a freshman that they were starting. And I remember SC won the game, but man, Breeze lit us up. And me and my friends were in the stands like, who is this dude? You know, we figured at some point he was going to win a Heisman Trophy. Obviously, he didn't, but we knew just from that first start, we're like, this dude's going to be really, really special. And it turned out, you know, obviously he was. I mean, he's going to the Hall of Fame, but I will never forget that. Just watching him as this little freshman with Purdue, who we didn't think they were going to stay in the game with SC at that point, but I mean, he torched us that day.
It's funny that Marcus brings up his college career, because that's also one of my memories, seeing Brees come into Camp Randall in Madison and throw a then NCAA record 83 passes against Wisconsin in a game that I think Wisconsin won like 28-24. A lot of those passes were like 5-yard outs. But yeah, I mean, he was truly terrific and made us care from a fantasy perspective about guys like Lance Moore, Devery Henderson, Robert Meacham, Willie Snead. Like, he made some pretty pedestrian receivers fantasy relevant, just like, you know, riding Drew Brees' coattails. Yeah, one of a kind. That run he had from like 2006 to 2016 was just, might be one of the last times we see like a non-mobile quarterback have that sort of run for fantasy value.
I got to say, Willie Snead, though, one of the all-time greats. He went to Ball State just like me. Just like me. Willie Snead, he's the man.
How did I know you were going to pull out a Willie Snead comment? I was like, Ball State, here we come. Chris is going to come with Ball State. It followed us on every show.
He set him up for it.
No, he was playing there when I was in grad school, so I got to see every home game he played, and like, you know, it really hasn't reflected much in his NFL career, but like at least in college at Ball State, he can catch anything.
I like the Willie Snead. We're digressing about the GOAT, unless we're talking about the GOAT Willie Snead, because I mean. Yeah, apparently he needs GOAT status.
What else is interesting, though, you talked about that run he had for about 10 years or so and the receivers he had. What I always remember about the Saints when they were really lighting it up is that you knew Breeze was going to be one of the first quarterbacks off the board, but it was hard to peg who his receivers were going to be. I mean, you had Marcus Colston, but every week you mentioned, like, 1 week is the Lance Moore week, 1 week is the Devery Henderson week, 1 week – you just could never really pinpoint, you know, which is why it was great when Jimmy Graham was kind of doing his thing.
Jimmy Graham, absolutely.
You knew you could count on Graham week to week. You knew you could count on Marcus Colston, who, you know, I'm old enough to remember when Marcus Colston was a fantasy tight end and not a wide receiver. But beyond that, it was sort of a grab bag of receivers that Breeze played with. And he would sort of make them fantasy relevant, just not enough that we were willing to take actual shots at drafting them because you didn't want to ride the roller coaster. But you knew every week Breeze was going to get you that, you know, 25 to 30 points. You knew that was for sure. It's just a question of who was going to catch the ball in any given week.
I mean, it was probably Darren Sproles, right?
Darren Sproles, there you go.
That was probably going to safety net, you know. And then Jimmy Graham, man, 100 grand, man, Jimmy Graham, man.
Drew Brees and Marcus Colston are tied for seventh in quarterback wide receiver duo touchdowns, 76.
Speaking about forgotten players, right? It's a great show to talk about these guys. So
I would not draft Marcus Colston this season.
Joe Horn.
Consider it after the 12th.
I would take Joe Horn. Yeah.
Joe.
Yeah. All right, let's move on here. Deshaun Watson apparently really wants out of Houston. Clearly, there are at least 25 teams who would be willing to have Deshaun Watson on their team. A lot of people have speculated about this. I don't even think we need to take the time to guess as to where Deshaun Watson is going to go, because I'm assuming all of us have put something out on Twitter about this, you know, at least a little bit. Marcus, you're smiling, have you?
You know what? I actually haven't, but I did sort of make a list. I actually went through and I figured I counted about 11 teams that probably legitimately don't necessarily, you know, aren't fighting to get Deshaun Watson, right? So there are 11 teams that are probably just like, yeah, we're good. There are two maybes. So I guess it's what, 13 out of 31 teams. So you got 18, legitimately 18 teams out there that, like, if you're not at least on the phone and seeing what it would take, like, that's just malpractice at this point. Now, I'm also curious to see what it's going to be like with the new duo of, you know, of Easterby and Casario there, what it's going to take. Because, you know, when Bill O'Brien was there, you could probably get him for, like, you know, a pack of Sour Patch Kids and a 2006 Honda Civic. Like, it probably didn't take much to get him out of there. But now it might take a little bit more to get Deshaun Watson. I'm kind of curious what the offers might be.
Did that Civic at least have a spoiler on it? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to at least spruce it up, right? You can't just have it be factory line Civic. No, it's got to be some modifications.
Lights underneath.
All right. I'll take it. It's a Civic with the spoiler on top. Deal.
Last little bit of news that we had, the Baltimore Ravens are releasing Mark Ingram, which is going to save them $5 million in cap space for 2021. Them doing it this early lets Ingram become a free agent right away. Pat, is he good enough to be a starting running back for a team?
I don't think to start, but to be in a committee somewhere, sure. And we see all the time running backs come out of the ether. So even if he's like the number three man somewhere, I could definitely see him being the hot waiver wire ad of week 7, 2021, you know, and put him somewhere like if the Packers don't sign Aaron Jones, if they don't re-sign him, say they do re-sign Jamal Williams and have Jamal Williams, AJ Dillon, and they bring in Mark Ingram. You know, I could definitely still see him being fantasy relevant somewhere. Put him in a three-man committee. One guy goes down, and all of a sudden, he's a potentially valuable contributor.
Falcons could be a good spot.
Yeah.
They're probably not bringing Gurley back.
They even have a chance to start there.
Yeah. True.
I mean, they're going to split
out of that backfield.
No one's the actual starter on that team ever, right? I mean, when you go back into the time, it's just like, do they ever have a starter? Like, one, they just don't seem to have a starter. It doesn't seem matter who the coach is, the coordinator. Put Mark Ingram. Give Mark Ingram.
So, wow, the Falcons didn't have a starter?
Yeah, they don't ever seem to have a starter. Like, you know,
they
like
had Devonta Freeman for years.
I mean, three years?
2-3 years,
if you want to say, before they started integrating another guy.
I can't even remember. Jamal Anderson, man, Dirty Bird.
Who was the even
the part with Devonta Freeman, right? Like, how many years did we look at this and we were like, I don't know, Tevin Coleman is coming. You know, like, because Kyle Shanahan, for whatever irrational reason, loves Tevin Coleman, right? It didn't matter how well Raheem Mostert was playing or Jeff Wilson or, you know, anybody was playing. If Tevin Coleman was healthy, he would get on the field and he would take carries and he would get you, you know, 2.3 yards per carry. And for whatever reason, Kyle Shanahan kept trying to put that square peg in a round hole. And that was a thing that made us worried about Devonta Freeman for years, because we're like, I don't know, man. Shanahan's going to get Tevin Coleman on the field, and he would. Coleman would do nothing except get in the way, but, you know, whatever.
I mean, he's a very fine gentleman. He'll take your lady. Well, not your lady. He'll take your daughter out, and he'll bring her back in a timely fashion. So this is why people like Tevin Coleman.
Let's go ahead and move on. I don't know. Well, guys, do you want to win a signed Chris Godwin or signed Kenny Golladay jersey? Once we reach 100 patrons at patreon.com/sleeperwire, we will randomly pick one person, announce them on the show, and they'll get their choice of the jersey. And even the $1 tier gets you in. So check out patreon.com/sleeperwire and get into this contest. And I do believe it is it's the original Chris Godwin. It's the 12, right, Hoos?
It's the 12. Yep. You can't get that. It's a rare jersey right there. You can't get that anymore.
All right, guys. Well, before we move into Players Forgotten, we are getting close to the Super Bowl, just a little over 3 weeks away. Time for Super Bowl predictions. During our Stranger Stats episode, we had this as well. I chose Chiefs Packers. That is what I'm still sticking with. And even in my NFL playoff challenge, I have mostly Chiefs and Packers. So week one was pretty bad for me, but you know, this past week looks pretty good. Marcus, what are you thinking for the Super Bowl?
So it's funny, because before the season, I had Chiefs Packers. Even midway point of the season, I had Chiefs Packers. But when we got to the start of the playoffs, I switched up. And I think the Bills are going to shock the world. I think the Bills are going to shock. And I thought this, like I said, beginning of the playoffs. So I know that as we sit here and we do this show, we don't know what the status of Patrick Mahomes is going to be this week after having to leave with that concussion. But even before any of that happened, I thought the Bills were really coming together more than any other team right at the right time. I mean, you know, Josh Allen had been great. The defense was starting to get a little bit better. So I'm going to stick with what I said at the beginning of the playoffs. I think the Bills meet the Packers in the Super Bowl. And I'm not going to be a little bit surprised if Buffalo finally raises a Lombardi this year. Plastic folding tables all throughout the Lake Erie region are going to be in trouble when Bills Mafia starts jumping through and smashing them. I think they're going to get it done this year.
Pat, who you got?
I kind of like Packers Bills too. And, you know, full disclosure, I'm a Packers fan. So, I didn't have them before the season as a Super Bowl team. I mean, part of that is like, you know, the fatalism of your home team thinking they're not going to get it done. But I mean, they do kind of remind me of the 2010 team in some ways. That team kind of came in the back door as like a sixth seed, and just they had problems with injuries all season and just got hot at the right time. Not quite the same thing here, but the Packers defense was kind of a train wreck against the run early in the season. Just wasn't a real great unit. And they've just tightened it up considerably over the last 2 months. And I didn't think they had enough. I didn't think it was a good enough defense to go all the way 2 months ago. But now I think they can do it. And the offense is just hitting on all cylinders, man. So, you know, and I kind of agree with Marcus. I mean, I think the Chiefs are like 0-9 against the spread in their last 9 games. Like, they're just kind of playing to everyone's level. And it does seem like the Bills have that team of destiny thing going on this year.
I will also say the Packers this year's 13-3 team is much better than last year's 13-3 team.
Definitely. Yeah, that team was really lucky. I mean, this team, you know, other than pretty much the one really bad game they played was against the Buccaneers. So, you know, we'll see if that holds again. But then again, the Saints drubbed the Buccaneers twice during the regular season, and that didn't mean too much in the playoffs.
Right. Hoos, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going to go with these fine gentlemen here. Go Packers, Bills. I mean, these just look like the best teams. I mean, we watch football with our eyeballs. It's not that complicated. I mean, just look at the best teams. The Bills look like the best team. And the Packers just feels like Aaron Rodgers just feels like he's going to win the Super Bowl. I feel like Josh Allen's going to get there, but I think Rodgers is going to take it. He has the experience. He wants it more. He's just playing like a man possessed this year. And I'm so happy for him because a lot of people wrote him off and he doesn't have the weapons. He doesn't have this. And he's got Davante Adams and he's got himself. And I mean, that line just protects him every game. The guy doesn't get touched hardly. And then, you know, he's mobile. But yeah, I mean, Bills, I would love for my Bills to do it. But I do think we're going to get there. I think we're going to fall a little short. But Bills, I think we're going to get there. We're going to make some noise. And we already are. So, and the Diggs jersey, it's going to increase over, you know, some value. So I did buy a few of these knowing that, you know, getting that value. So I'm liking that increase of value.
Well, you talked about Aaron Rodgers getting the disrespect that was certainly there this year in drafts. I think I picked him up in the 8th round. I mean, he
won that league probably.
yeah, he was getting some serious. Yeah. People weren't picking him because they thought, oh, he hasn't been that top two, top three quarterback for a couple of years, and he's been awesome.
I referred to this season as the Aaron Rodgers petty party. Like between the fact that, you know, we all thought, I mean, even Davante Adams thought they were going to draft a wide receiver and they didn't. And they go out and they draft a backup quarterback and they draft another running back. And, you know, between that, the fact that, look, I don't know how much Aaron Rodgers pays attention to stuff we say about him and his fantasy value, but it just feels like he has been on this mission to, like, prove everybody wrong. And what would be a better way to finish off the petty party than for him to basically take his cake and eat it too? It does seem like a pretty fitting ending to the year.
Absolutely. Sven, let's round it out here.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Marcus. I think the Bills make it and Aaron Rodgers is going to win a second Super Bowl. They basically said, you know what? We're not going to help you really that much, but I'm Aaron Rodgers and I make terrible commercials right now, but I know how to play football. So I'm going to beat. And I think everybody here would agree that we just don't want to see Tom Brady in there. So that's probably a big reason why we're also taking the Packers. Josh Allen is a hell of a quarterback. They're playing fantastic football. They stopped the Ravens with the run. I mean, the Ravens had one of the most, the best run game in the NFL, and their run defense was their low side. So they played well. I really would love to see Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers, but I think the Packers, I think Aaron ekes it out.
I still get mad about the Tuck rule.
They would have never called timeout. Who knows if Vinatieri would have moved that snow to kick that field goal.
I was watching that game with a Raiders fan.
I was watching that game in a Raiders bar. And
my God.
Yeah, I remember I was like, you know, I was indifferent. I was not, you know, impartial, and I was with a friend who was sort of impartial. We were just there for the game. At that point, we're like, maybe we should get the check and go.
Yeah. Get out of here. It's time to get out of here.
All right, guys. Well, let's move to the main segment of the show. Players forgotten. So here in this segment, each one of us has a couple players that, you know, maybe got injured last season or underperformed or were just the victims of bad fantasy circumstances. These are the players that we want to remember for the 2021 season. I think it's best to look at this from a dynasty startup point of view since it's January, but we can also talk about players for redraft as well, because I know tons of people are already putting out or at least gathering their redraft rankings, their early rankings for 2021. So players forgotten. We're going to go in just, we'll just keep it the same order. We'll go Marcus, Pat, Hoos, Sven, and then I'll round it out. We'll go one at a time. Marcus, who you got for your first player to not forget in 2021?
All right. I don't know how forgotten this guy might have been, but I, you know, sort of at the urging of my pal and colleague Adam Rank, really jumped on the Blake Jarwin train late in fantasy draft season. I mean, part of it is that we are generally just thirsty for tight ends. But I also sort of made the point that at the end of 2019, Jason Witten was the tight end 11. And at that point, all he could do, well, all he can kind of do now is basically just catch the ball and fall down, right? And so you look at Blake Jarwin, who's a younger, more athletic option. You know, the idea being he was going to be in a loaded offense. Obviously, it fell apart when Jarwin gets hurt early. Then Dak Prescott gets hurt, and you know, that sort of changed everything in Dallas. But if they get those guys back next year, I still believe Blake Jarwin has the makings of easily being a top 10, maybe even a top 6 or 8 tight end. I drafted him in a number of spots and obviously had to sort of scramble once he went. Like, I had a team that had Blake Jarwin and George Kittle, so I was really hurting at tight end after a few weeks in the season. But I think that because, again, we're always just hurting for tight end production. Blake Jarwin's a guy that I think, you know, hopefully there's a draft discount that people do forget about him and we can still get him at a nice draft spot next year.
Yeah, I actually, in a dynasty league, I traded away CeeDee Lamb to get Blake Jarwin and I think Denzel Mims. And to pick is what's a 2 tight end league. I really was on the Blake Jarwin train and
it was
pretty bummed. Pretty bummed, but I'm looking forward to it as well. I like that pick. Pat, what about your first guy?
So I'll throw out Tariq Cohen, torn ACL early in the season, but happened early enough in week 3, I think, that he's, you know, not at any risk of not being ready for the start of 2021. The Bears, with their great luck, signed him, I believe, to a 3-year extension like the week before he tore his ACL. So he is going to be back with the Bears. I do think the Bears like didn't have anyone at all they could give the ball to other than David Montgomery. I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson, a converted wide receiver, was their backup running back. You know, no interest in giving it to Ryan Nall or Artavis Pierce. So, you know, Cohen's going to be back in that third down role. And though he's not really a threat to ever take over as the featured back, like that role, especially if we're talking dynasty where it's usually PPR formats, Cohen certainly has value in PPR, you know, maybe not real RB1 value, but as, you know, an RB3 flex type guy. So, you know, a guy who's going to come back on the radar next year for sure.
Absolutely. Who so you got for your first player?
It's going to be Will Fuller. Now, obviously, that's a caveat on if Watson is not traded or not. I don't think they're going to trade Watson. He hasn't really requested one yet. He's implied that he wants a trade. He's really pissed off, but he hasn't really asked for one yet. Part of that is probably because he can't walk it back, right? Once you ask for a trade, it's going to be difficult to walk it back. Now, Will Fuller, I mean, even if he doesn't get re-signed by the Titans, now say he gets, you know, picked up by the Dolphins. Now he's a free agent, you know, and say this trade does go down with Watson, you know, getting traded to the Dolphins. You attach him to Will Fuller. We all saw what Will Fuller did with Watson, he's had rapport with them. We were saying who's going to replace Hopkins. It was Will Fuller. Will Fuller was the guy. He was always the guy. He was the guy we slept on last year. He's the guy that we were forgetting about last year. This year is going to be another year that I think we're going to be forgetting about Will Fuller. He's 27 years old. I don't think he's, you know, that too much of old of a guy. I think he's still a dynasty asset. You could probably acquire him with like a second rounder or something like that with the recency bias of him not playing. If Watson plays, he's a wide receiver 1 that you're getting on a huge discount. Will Fuller is going to be a stud for you. Whatever team he's going to be on, I think he's going to, it obviously, if he doesn't re-sign up with the Texans, he's probably going to be even a better value because people are not going to be sure where he's going to go. And is he going to produce on a new team? But we were able to see, given the quarterback, a guy like Diggs did produce on a new team. So obviously landing spot means a lot, but Diggs is Will Fuller's a guy that you shouldn't forget about. You should add him on your teams. You should trade for him. You should draft him in your startups if you're in any.
Now, so I feel like Will Fuller's going to cost you more than a second. I feel like he's going to cost at least a first round pick, maybe plus. Marcus, what do you think there?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. We were talking about this on our podcast a couple of weeks ago, and so Michael F. Florio and I were sort of like trying to we were creating kind of dueling narratives, like. On the one hand, this past year, the knock on Will Fuller had been he could never stay healthy, right? This year, he stays healthy and he gets popped for PEDs. So now I feel like the narrative is going to be, well, if he's clean, he's not going to be healthy. And now what are we going to do with him? So I feel like I mean, I agree with Hoos. Like, I drafted him in a lot of spots because there was a huge discount compared to what the upside is. And I feel like now we're sort of in this weird netherworld of how do we evaluate Will Fuller? You know, is he back to being the injury prone guy? Is he healthy, but maybe a risk to get suspended? I don't have an answer to that, but if he's fallen to me again in like the seventh, eighth round, like he was this year, I mean, I'll take that all day.
Now, Pat, I know you mentioned you had started looking at your rankings for 2021. Are you factoring in Will Fuller's suspension into those rankings?
Yeah, a little bit, I think. I want to say, I don't have him in front of me, but I want to say he's still like a top 25 receiver for me in redraft, like 24, 25, somewhere around there. I do agree that the injury prone thing is probably going to shadow him, you know, for the rest of his years in the league. But I think going into 2020, there was maybe some question as to whether he was just this this nine route guy, this big play guy who would show up. You know, some weeks you're going to get 120 and two touchdowns. Some weeks you're going to get two catches for 14 yards. But I think this year he sort of dispelled that. You know, they used him all over the field. He was almost just sliding right into that DeAndre Hopkins role. And I think I'm a little more willing now to live with the risk of the injuries, seeing what he could do and how he could really, you know, be a true alpha receiver when they needed him to be one.
Absolutely. Sven, who do you got for your first player?
So a player that totally forgotten and probably will be forgotten, like for all of fantasy football, is Ian Thomas. The guy had 100. I think he had, hold on, I have his stats right here. He was considered a top tight end breakout preseason. I mean, without Greg Olsen, like big things, Matt Rhule coming in, Robbie Anderson, we're bringing in heavy guns. You know, he still got CMC, Teddy Bridgewater. The guy literally had a season like Travis Kelce has in one game, which was 20 catches, 31 targets, 145 yards and a touchdown all season long. And he was healthy too. That's the crazy thing. So clearly Matt Rhule didn't find a reason to use the tight. I don't know. I don't think they have. Do they? Maybe he won't even be on the roster next year. Who knows? Ian Thomas is definitely someone that has been forgotten and probably will be forgotten, because I feel like they may move on from him or keep him and then maybe draft someone else.
So are you saying he's a player that you should not forget, or that you should forget?
No, you should forget. Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay.
I would. Yeah. That's what
I think you're interpreting this different than the other
four. I have other guys, though, that should not be forgotten as well, but I wanted to throw him out there.
Okay. All right. I like it.
I wouldn't hate Ian Thomas late in like a dynasty startup if it's like 12 teams in 28 rounds. I mean, I don't know what happened in 2020, but like before that, it seemed like whenever Greg Olsen got hurt, Ian Thomas would step up and, you know, have some decent games. Really good physical profile, you know, fast, big. So yeah, it's just kind of like your fourth tight end in a dynasty league. I wouldn't mind him.
Was it knowing that Greg Olsen was coming back, though? You know, that like, oh, Greg will be back in a little bit. You know, let's see what I got out there.
He's still kind of interesting, I think. It wouldn't surprise me if he popped at some point.
You were selling me at first. I was like, oh, Ian Thomas, okay, all right, I like it. And then I was like, wait, what's going on? Oh, okay, we're fading him. Okay, I got you.
And you should forget him.
Yeah. I'm like, okay,
My first player, Paris Campbell. So I know we haven't seen a whole lot of him at the NFL level, but in 2018 at Ohio State, he led the Big Ten in receiving touchdowns with 12, and I was also eighth in the NCAA, and he was third in the Big Ten in receiving yards with 1,063, and it's primarily as a slot receiver, which is what the Colts are going to use him as. He's a burner, ran a 4.31 40 at the combine with a 40-inch vertical. Really, all of his measurables at the combine are in the 90th percentile all time for wide receivers. So he's just an athletic freak, but he's got that injury prone label. Even though all of his injuries, he hasn't re-injured the same body part at all, just been to different parts of his body. So he's got a broken foot, a knee injury, an abdominal sprain or strain, and a fractured hand. But still, with that elite athleticism, he's worth grabbing in the late rounds. He should not be on waivers in your dynasty leagues.
I do like Mr. Paris Campbell. It sounds like he's injury prone, though. I don't know. He's Mr. Glass.
But if you're talking about dynasty, I mean, the upside that you talk about is there. Yeah. Now, for me, the questions in Indianapolis become one, who's going to be the quarterback next year? is Nick Sirianni going to be there as the offensive coordinator? Because I know the Eagles reportedly have a lot of interest in him as their head coach. And then what happens with the rest of the development of that wide receiver group? You know, what is the future for T.Y. Hilton? I love Michael Pittman. I'll admit I'm being a little bit of a USC homer, but I do love Michael Pittman. Zach Pascal flashed a little bit. So there is a little bit there. There is some depth there if everybody plays well. But I think because of the upside and because I think the asking price is not going to be particularly high for Paris Campbell, I think he's right. At least worth a shot.
In drafts, you're going to be able to get him late double-digit rounds for sure. I hope it's not Phillip Rivers in Indy. As a Colts fan, I mean, he did what I thought he would do. He would get them to the playoffs. I thought that would happen. They should have beat the Bills. I'm just going to say it. As a Colts homer, they should have beat the Bills. Gabriel Davis got a couple gifts, those catches on the sidelines on that one drive.
Hey, play calling. What are you going to do?
The Colts got a gift on that that fumble that was ruled not a fumble. But either way. Either way.
In the land of make-believe.
I actually – what do you guys think about Carson Wentz to the Colts?
I love it. I don't think it's
going to happen. He was okay under Frank Reich previously, right?
Exactly. So, you know, exactly.
If anybody can fix him, maybe it's Reich.
Yep. Let's move to our second round. Marcus, who you got for your second player?
I'm going to go Bryan Edwards here, and this is a guy that I loved last season. I really thought at the start of last season, I had him projected as being more productive than Henry Ruggs, which – in theory, wouldn't have been that difficult because Henry Ruggs didn't do much of anything. It's just that Edwards really couldn't stay healthy, couldn't stay on the field. I also think, you know, the Raiders are another team that is probably going – they're probably going to have a quarterback change. I can't imagine they're going to go into 2021 with Derek Carr as their starting quarterback. But I still believe in Bryan Edwards. And, again, I think after this past year, the asking price has gone down on him. And the Raiders still need – a consistently productive wide receiver. What we saw out of Nelson Agholor this year was great. It was fun, but I also think it was right about what his ceiling is. I'm still not certain that Ruggs is a great fit for the offense. I don't think it's a talent issue. I just don't think he's a really great fit for what Gruden wants to do and for who the quarterback is. We know Darren Waller, so it's going to absorb a ton of targets there, but I think there's room for a guy like Bryan Edwards if he can stay healthy, for him to be really productive. So I'm sort of willing to double down on what I thought about him last year and think that he turns it around and becomes productive again in 2021.
I like that because, I think we've seen these three or four receiver classes in a row with some pretty precocious rookie producers, which isn't to say that these guys can't still follow the more traditional path of having sort of quiet rookie seasons and then stepping it up a bit in year two or year three. So, plus Edwards kind of came into training camp. Wasn't he a little banged up at the start of it? Was it foot injury or something? I know.
I think it was a foot this year.
Yeah. I know he was getting around with like a rascal at the combine. So, give him a full year. And I like that call a lot.
Well, Pat, who do you got for your second player?
I'm changing it up. I had Devin Funchess initially, but he might just be below the threshold in dynasty leagues. I mean, it'll be interesting if he comes back with the Packers after being an opt-out, a COVID opt-out. Maybe that would have been a little bit better of a choice before MVS started to flash as the season went on and Lazard came back from injury. So, you guys mentioned a few tight ends before. How about O.J. Howard, with Gronk maybe getting ever closer to the end of the line. And we did see Howard start to show us a little something at the beginning of the season before he got hurt. With this guy's college bona fides, I just refuse to believe he's not eventually going to turn it on at the NFL level.
That's a great pick.
Yeah,
I love that pick. I also want for O.J. Howard's greatest catch to not be a foul ball at a Tampa Bay Rays game.
Oh man,
that was pretty special, though.
I mean, guy's 26 years old. He's still young enough to put it together. And tight ends don't, on average, they don't put it together while they're young. I feel like they get better as they get older. They get their blocking together. All the assignments. I mean, who's the guy we like? Hayden Hurst. Guy's 27 years old. You know, he's probably going to be a stud next year. But a lot of people were thinking he was going to break out the first year or so. but a lot of people were on him. I mean, the older you get, I feel like you know, I mean, you got your Mark Andrews, I guess, but Mark Andrews 23. How many 23-year-old tight ends are out there playing like a, you know, 31-year-old Kelsey? I mean, granted, Kelsey was doing it at 26 or 27, right? But
Darren Waller is 28.
I still contend that Hayden Hurst could have been great in Baltimore, except that the Ravens hoard tight ends like toilet paper in a pandemic.
Always. Oh, man.
Marcus is with Hayden Hurst had 2.5 more points than Dalton Schultz.
Dalton Schultz was – don't
– I'm just saying people thought Hayden Hurst was going to be great, and he was
not. I agree.
Yeah, I was one of those people. I really thought big thing. Yeah, I was like, hey, look, Austin Hooper balled out. Why can't Hayden Hurst? But – yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Falcons.
So right. My third guy is going to be Miles Gaskins. Although he did finish the last two games, so you might remember him. Yeah. But if you didn't make the playoffs, right? If you didn't make the fantasy playoffs, you probably don't remember him. You probably forgot about Miles Gaskins. They're probably going to bring in more talent, probably off of a lot of people's radars. He's on some people's radars. But he's a guy that, I mean, he's getting thrown the ball and he was getting rushes. I mean, he's a guy that's going to have a role in that offense come next year. I mean, he just seems like he's one of those guys that's a chip guy. You know, I like to use that word, the chip guys that have the chip on his shoulder. Aaron Rodgers is a chip guy that just feels like he's, you know, one of the best guys in the room. I think Miles Gaskins kind of has that air about him. And again, as I talked about earlier in the show, like watch football, watch the film. Like this guy has it. Like he looks like a good, you watch the film. He looks like, you know, he doesn't look like the most explosive guy in the world, but he make guys miss and he can catch passes. I mean, he does a little bit of everything. And I think that he's kind of like a Frank Gore, if you will. Now, obviously Frank Gore is a legend, but I think you put him in that mold of just a guy that jack of all trades. I think he's going to be he's going to have a solid role into that offense, and he's a guy a lot of people are probably going to be forgetting about coming into your drafts. I mean, he had 107. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, let's not forget about Frank Gore's PPR prowess. How great he is in PPR leagues.
No, he can catch passes. I mean, but what I'm saying is he does a little bit of everything. You know, Frank Gore. Yeah. It's not like he can't catch passes, but obviously Miles Gaskins. So he has 16.4 points a game in PPR leagues, 39 catches in 10 games. I mean, he finished with 107 yards, 21 carries, and a touchdown the last two games of the season. This is just a preview of what he's going to do with a healthy Tua. Imagine they get Watson or something like that. I think they will bring another guy, but Gaskin's going to be a value for, I think, in drafts coming up.
I agree. The only thing that made me question picking him for this is his 33 point week 16. If you had Gaskin in the championship, you're not going to forget that, you know?
I say what I liked about the Dolphins run game this year is that they were pretty much a one back offense. You know, it was whoever was the starter, that's the guy that was going to get most of the work. I mean, I sort of laughed that at the start of the year, we were like arguing whether it was going to be Jordan Howard or Matt Breida. And then the answer turned out to be Miles Gaskin.
Yeah.
But whoever it was, when it was Gaskin, when Gaskin was healthy, he was the guy. When Savon Ahmed was in there, he was the guy. I mean, so if we can get that again next year, it's going to be nice to know that whoever the Dolphins running back of records is, that guy's not going to have a whole lot of competition behind him.
Although weirdly, that week 16 game, we kind of got a head fake, didn't we? Didn't Salvon Ahmed start that game? And then Gaskin came in and went off.
Right. Like, you are right.
Marcus is right, though. I mean, they were pretty much like a monogamous backfield for most of the season. And like, I'm with Hoos. I mean, there's just something subtle about the way Gaskin plays, like just little bits of footwork or like always spinning off contact forward. Like he's just, it seems like he's just advanced beyond his years as a runner. I kind of wonder what the market is going to be on him. Do you guys think he's going to be perceived as kind of a one-year wonder and just this guy who got pushed up out of necessity because they decided, you know, Jordan Howard sucks and we don't want to play this guy? Or do you think like people are going to give him proper respect after this year?
I think people are going to look at him more as a one-hit wonder. I think there's going to be a lot of skeptics about Miles Gaskin, and you're going to see his draft price sort of get pushed down because of that. And looking back on the Dolphins offense, I was struggling to think if there was anything that was really, truly, honestly good or if what we saw that we liked was just better than we expected. And I feel like, you know, Mike Gesicki was kind of a disappointment this year. Devontae Parker, I don't think matched up to what he did, you know, in his breakout year the year before. We liked Gaskin, we liked Ahmed, but it's because like we had zero expectations of what these guys are going to be. I'm not certain that the Dolphins offense was good. It was just better than we thought it could be. And so we kind of got gassed up about that.
It's the quarterback carousel that was going on as well, I feel like, because their game plan when Fitzpatrick was in. You knew, I mean, Fitzpatrick knew what he was doing. Like Tua, just like he still has a learning curve and he was still struggling. So if he is the quarterback next year, I could see them actually, I could see Brian Flores game planning for Myles Gaskin with Tua. And hey, like this is, you know, you guys are the future. Like go. So
is it that Fitz knew what he was doing or is that he just degassed? Like he just
the latter, more than likely.
Oh, that's pretty great. All right, Sven, who you got for your last player or your second player?
Here's a guy that I hope that he fades in drafts next year and people just forget about him because Brandon Ayuk overtook him on the depth chart. Debo Samuel, he technically played in seven games, but let's be real, I think he got hurt in the beginning of that game or barely played the seventh game. He was averaging like seven targets when he was out there. He clearly was part of the offense. And if they could figure something out with Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, now they got to figure out their quarterback situation. That is the bigger question. Are you going to, you know, Jimmy G, like what's going on? Nick Mullins, CJ, whatever the hell. What is it? Bethard. Yeah. Debo Samuel, I think, is a player that could be forgotten from this year because of how well Brandon Ayuk played. And people are going to be like, oh, okay, maybe I won't draft him. And then he could fall and I will jump all over Debo. I think that those two could be electric as receivers on the Niners. Like that could be their offense. I understand they like to run the ball, but when you have that much talent and athleticism on the outside, you can't not use it.
I so, like Marcus, you're the 49er fan. Who gets drafted earlier next year? Is it Debo or Ayuk?
I think it's Ayuk. I was saying midway through the season that if Brandon Ayuk had stayed healthy all year long, we might have been talking about him the same way we talked about Justin Jefferson when he came to the rookie wide receivers. But here's the thing. I don't think Debo's a bad player at all. In fact, I've sort of comped him to kind of a young Anquan Boldin, just kind of a big, sturdy guy who's really hard to tackle after the catch. Now, I don't know if he'll have the same kind of career as Boldin did, but I do see some similarities there. We want as many pieces of a Kyle Shanahan offense as we can get. And I do think Ayuk comes off the board first, but I think, you know, if you get Debo Samuel, especially if you're using him as like your second or third wide receiver, I don't think that's a bad spot to be in, especially if they can figure out the quarterback situation. Look, if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I'm definitely on the phone with Houston, right? If I can take that offense and I can put a Deshaun Watson in the mix in that offense, man, buckle up. Wow. Buckle up.
That's going to be ridiculous. Get him out of the AFC South, man. I'm all for that. So the last guy I wanted to talk about, really, I couldn't decide between my player two for this. So I chose opt-out players, not to forget about opt-out players. And Damian Williams was the first one. He was a fantasy superstar for a short stretch. He was definitely the biggest name of the offseason to opt out first anyway. He's still under contract with the Chiefs. They do have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, of course, but didn't really do much in the passing game, which is where Damian Williams was really at his best. And Le'Veon Bell's an unrestricted free agent after this season. So I think Damian Williams is going to be likely forgotten in the early part of the dynasty startup season. And I say that as someone who was a Damian Williams hater, not truther, the last couple of years. And the other one, Geronimo Allison, he's a free agent now. I feel like if he had played this season with Kenny Golladay being down, he would have been really good across from Marvin Jones in Detroit. He had some good games with Aaron Rodgers, and depending on where he lands, he could be a good value as a late pick as well.
I'll say this about Damian Williams. I feel like, you know, we all looked at Clyde Edwards-Helaire as being disappointing this year, and I feel like we sort of forgot the fact that I don't think the Chiefs ever had intended for CEH to come in there and be a workhorse. I think the plan had always been to have him be sort of in a rotation with Damian Williams. But then when Williams opted out, we all just kind of lost our minds collectively. And we boosted his draft stock way high. And I just don't think the Chiefs ever intended for his role to be that big. I also think that's why they went out and they got Le'Veon Bell. Turns out Lev is a little bit washed. I don't think that was what they foresaw. But I think, you know, our disappointment in CEH sort of stems to the fact that Williams opted out and that he was intended to have a pretty good role in this offense. So I think that's a good call. I don't think we should forget about him at all because I think he steps back into Kansas City, and I think he sees a pretty significant workload next year.
Do we have any round three players, Marcus? You got any other players not to forget?
I do. And I mean, look, you're a big hip hop guy. So this is me digging in the crates, right? I'm digging through the crates to find something here. Sven mentioned Deebo Samuel. Don't sleep on Jalen Hurd, who tore his ACL in the preseason or, you know, training camp, whatever we're calling it, right? Tore his ACL. A guy who's still sort of learning how to play the wide receiver position, but a big body guy who can stretch the field, can potentially be a really great goal line target. Now, granted, he's going to step into a pass catching group that is loaded because, you know, obviously Kittle is still there. Samuel's there. Ayuk is there. There are a lot of guys who are going to take some targets. But if we're talking about a dynasty, we're especially talking about a dynasty startup, the Niners love his athleticism and they love what he can potentially do, especially as he gets more attuned to playing the wide receiver position. But again, they can figure out the quarterback situation. I think there's a chance for him to have a lot of upside for basically free in your drafts. I mean, we're talking very end of drafts, but I think the upside is huge for a guy like Jalen Hurd if he can get on the field. And that's my point. When you're drafting Jalen Hurd, H-U-R-D, don't get it confused with Jalen Hurts, H-U-R-T-S. You know, like don't go out. Don't be like, hey, this guy's going to go off the board early. I'm like, no, this is not the guy I'm talking about.
One is a quarterback, the other is a wide receiver.
Wide receiver, right? So just make sure you get that right when you're making your draft lists.
And the 49ers have the most unpredictable backfield in the league. And Jalen Hurts got a little running back pedigree too. Like it wouldn't surprise me if he wound up in sort of a Cordarrelle Patterson type role.
He's 6'5".
You are correct.
But yeah, he was the biggest wide receiver I think they have.
But he was a running back for a while too. So no, Pat's right. I mean, there's a chance they could sort of use him as a Swiss Army knife and kind of move him around in a bunch of different spots.
Pat, you got any other guys to add to this?
The one guy was maybe going to kick in. Like, I wonder if he's forgotten since the Rams had a pretty abbreviated playoff stay. But, like, I wonder if John Wolford might have any staying power as like, a guy who maybe they let challenge Jared Goff. And we'll see. Like, I don't know what the Rams can bring in. I don't think they have a first-round pick this year, if I'm mistaken. I think they did that in the Jalen Ramsey trade? So, like, I'm guessing, you know, they've got a lot of salary tied up in some of these defensive studs they have. So it seems like maybe, you know, things weren't real great with Jared Goff and Sean McVay at the end of the season. Things weren't clicking with Goff at all. I know he was banged up in his defense. You know, I wonder if Wolford gets a shot to win that job next year.
I mean, I don't think the Rams are happy with Goff. Like, no. I think if they're sort of stuck with him because of the contract he's got right now. But if they could find a way to sort of, you know, get themselves out of it. Like, here's the thing. I think they would want to be in on the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, but Goff's contract is sort of prohibited from that.
Right. Yeah, I don't think they get a lot of wiggle room there.
Hoos, you got any last players to round it out here?
I was going to throw in Chris Carson, even though he did finish the season. He didn't get injured, but his last three games weren't great. But he still averaged like 15.7 a game. He had a career high 4.8 yards a carry. Now I know the whole yards per carry is like a really the stat no one likes to use. But the guy runs hard, so I think that's fair to use for Chris Carson. I think that they're going to bring him back. They don't have anything. They haven't had anything as clear cut as Chris Carson. He's 26 years old. I think he's still got a good couple years left in him. I think they give him, you know, a nice contract. And then, yeah, Chris Carson is a guy that, again, he didn't finish the season on a high note. I think he had like 8 points week 14, week 15, he had 10, another 10-point game, I think week 17, if you play week 17 or something. The rest of the season, I mean, Chris Carson is just a stud. He also missed a few games too, again. So this is why he might be on your forgotten list, because he missed a portion of games. And again, if you didn't make it to the playoffs because he was one of the guys you were depending on, he could be on your forgotten list. Shouldn't forget about Chris Carson. He's probably going to fall. A lot of people are going to think that they're going to bring in another guy. They got Rashad Penny there. They got DJ Dallas there. I don't think any of these guys really takes over. Chris Carson is a guy that's easily forgotten about. Kenny Galladay as well. And CMC. You can't forget about CMC, right? No.
Besides, you know, let Russ Cook turn into let Russ get DoorDash by the end of the year. So, you know,
did not look good. Pete Carroll coming out saying now, oh, we're going to go right back to the run. Like, oh, yeah. Really? I thought you guys were always a run.
Hashtag established. Yep.
But he is. I believe he's a free agent actually this year, Chris Carson. So they do have to re-sign him.
He is.
I like Sven, you got any last players here?
Tyrell Williams.
I like
it. For the Raiders. He started building a rapport with, you know, Carr, but like I think that's bold to say that Derek Carr may not be the quarterback next year for them. I wouldn't be surprised, but I just think that Tyrell, he's got that built for the wide receiver. I mean, the answer is on that team. Who are you throwing to? Darren Waller. And Hunter Renfrow clearly is involved because Henry Ruggs, I feel like he's exciting and shiny, but you didn't use him. And Bryan Edwards was injured and didn't do anything. So Tyrell Williams could be a big asset on that team come next year, with especially helping with Darren Waller and like a Hunter Renfrow, maybe help Josh Jacobs with the running game. That's so infuriating from time to time. Tyrell Williams.
Who do you think is going to be there over Derek Carr, though? Because Derek Carr is the top 15 quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's the Raiders and Derek Carr. It's like, I feel like the Raiders and Derek Carr feel like a couple of roommates who, like, they're sort of tired of each other, but they're just going to play out the rest of the lease. It's like, whatever, man. We got a few months left on this lease. Let's just figure it out, and then we'll go our separate ways. Like, right. I think they're both kind of like, I don't know that Carr can take them much further. I don't know that they can put enough around him to make him better. Like, it's just like, it's just such a stalemate there. And I don't know who they bring in. I don't know who solves the problem, but it just feels like this can't really keep going on this way.
He doesn't have that, like, that it factor, maybe. Like, he is an accurate passer. He's not, like, that bad. I'm sure there's a bunch of teams out there that would definitely use or need him, that could use him.
He's not really the guy to lead them past an 8-8 record, though.
Right? Is that the thing? Like, is that
– could be.
Like Marcus is saying, like, do you bring in – you have all this help. He has all this help, but it's like – what's the issue?
He is the ultimate purgatory quarterback. Like, you know, he's not leading you to the promised land, but he's too good to bench.
Right.
Exactly. So, like, you know, the around the NFL guys at the network, they used to have this thing they called like the Andy Dalton scale, where like if your quarterback, you know, like just like during his Bengals days, right? Where if your quarterback was better than Andy Dalton, then you had a pretty good franchise quarterback. If he was less than Andy Dalton, then you didn't. Maybe we can like rename that as the Derek Carr scale, right? Like he's oatmeal, right? He's just fine. Like you don't get excited about it, but it's fine. It gets the job done. You're full, you're healthy. Like, but it's not, you know, it's not bacon and eggs. Like, it's nothing exciting.
That's unfair to Dalton. I think Dalton is a better quarterback.
He earned himself another starting job after
his right. There you go. You know what I mean?
Or another great backup job.
Marcus, did you guys call it the Andy Dalton test like live on air?
I didn't. I mean, the ATN guys did. Yeah. No, that was their, like, on their podcast. They just referred to it as the Dalton scale. And I think it started to circulate through the building. It's like just the Andy Dalton scale. Like, it was, you know, like in baseball, you have the Mendoza line. Like, in the NFL, you have the Andy Dalton scale. Like, if he was better than Dalton, you were pretty center quarterback. And this was like, you know, during the time the Bengals sort of had it going a little bit, where they'd get to the playoffs and lose in the first round every year.
Yeah.
Like, it was that version of Andy Dalton. If you were better, then you were a franchise quarterback. If you weren't, then you weren't. And I think that's sort of Derek Carr, right? They're 8-8. They're on the verge of the playoffs, and it just seems to kind of be their ceiling at the moment.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, guys. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for the show. Not really anything else that we have to talk about here. Pat, Marcus, thank you so much for joining us yet again, guys. I really appreciate it. Pat, why don't you first start us off by telling us where people can follow you and support you?
The rankings already, the 2021 rankings are up. You can find those at thefootballgirl.com, and you can find me on Twitter at Fitz_FF. And podcast is on a little hiatus right now, but Fitz on Fantasy, be starting back up again in February.
One thing I forgot to mention, everybody, at the beginning of the show, I should have said that Pat was the number one in-season ranker on Fantasy Pros.
I think everyone knows that.
So, in case you didn't.
If you're involved in the industry, you know that. Yes.
He's only done it year after year.
Year
after,
yep. Year, after year
after year. Well, congrats on getting the number one spot, though.
All right. Appreciate that.
And Marcus, same to you. Where can people follow you and support you?
Best place to find me is on Twitter at Marcus G, MarcasG. And the podcast still, it persists. Even in the off season, we are twice a week right now. So yeah, find us, you know, all the places you find, you know, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find things to put in your ear holes. That's probably where you'll find our podcast.
And you can, well, Sven, I do not have your information. Where can people find you?
It's right there on the little box at Fantasy Sven on Twitter. You know, you can find me on the Sleepy Wire Network.
I did not have it. I did not have that in the show notes.
You're good.
And you can find Hoos on Twitter at Sleepwire Hoos, and I'm on there at Prof underscore Chris SW, and the Sleepwire Show at Sleepwire Show, and hit us up on Sleeper as well at Prophet Hoos and Professor Chris. Well, Pat, Marcus, once again, thanks for joining us. This was a lot of fun. Everybody else, thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you next time.